Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode number 188 of the Healthy Skin Show. In today's episode, you're in for a real treat, especially if you've been struggling with what I call a histamine overload picture in your case, which is often described as histamine intolerance. If you're taking antihistamines daily, struggling with itchiness that your doctor is having difficulty explaining, or have a ton of allergies, this is for you. A histamine overload picture is often complex and isn't usually fixed by any one thing. It's not solved by a low histamine diet, though the diet may be a required part of your path forward while working on other underlying issues. Histamine overload is more common in cases of eczema, rosacea, and chronic hives, but it's much less common in those with psoriasis, though I have worked with a few psoriatic clients who struggle with it. That doesn't mean that every case of eczema or rosacea, for example, is automatically a histamine overload picture, which is why it's important to get assessed. If you do have histamine overload, know that antihistamines are a band-aid, but they can be a helpful tool to manage your daily experience to help you get through your day. This is because your histamine cup, as I like to call it, is always so close to overflowing that the smallest issue can trigger a problem. Underlying concerns that can prematurely fill your histamine cup include IgE allergens, cross-reactive pollen food allergies, suboptimal DAO enzyme production, a diet that is high in foods that contain histamine, unfriendly gut bugs, genetic SNPs, estrogen dominance, mold and mycotoxin exposure, and heavy metals. Having varying combinations of these issues can create a perfect storm. So don't think that you have to have all of these because I listed them off, going on all at the same time in order to have a histamine overload picture. You could just have a combination of them that for whatever reason throws your system over the edge. The result can really be detrimental to your quality of life, especially if you're not able to sleep at night. In my clinical practice, about 50% of the total skin rash cases I work with fall into this category. So I'm very familiar with the daily struggle that you're going through. And that's why I'm planning on this being the first of a series of podcasts on this topic. So let's dive in. Before I go into more nitty-gritty about what's driving your histamine issue, it's important to figure out if that's what's going on in the first place. Many people mistakenly assume that because they're really itchy and have eczema, that they have histamine overload. But I can tell you from clinical experience that that is not always the case. Itchy skin can happen for many different reasons and may be due to a skin infection, which must be ruled out. So having eczema or a rash that you're not sure what it is usually not enough to qualify you for histamine overload. To start identifying if you actually have a histamine overload picture, ask yourself if any of these apply to you. So do you use antihistamines daily, maybe one or more different types of drugs a day? Do you experience hives or urticaria, or maybe even have dermatographia where you'll develop these raised welts from basically a scrape or a scratch or anything even just gently running over your skin? The skin will become raised and form this very odd pattern. Do you have intense itching? Obviously, after ruling out a skin infection. Do you struggle with asthma? Do you have confirmed IgE allergies? So not food sensitivities or intolerances, my friends. I'm actually talking about true IgE allergies. Do you have certain lab markers that are coming back as high, like your total IgE or your eosinophils, which can be found on a CBC or complete blood count panel? And lastly, do you find that you're reactive to high histamine foods? I want to be clear that it's not about experiencing just one or two of these issues, but rather having at least four of them in my clinical experience. I should also clarify the different types of antihistamines I was referring to a moment ago. You're probably familiar with Benadryl, Singulair, and Zyrtec, but the list can also include H2 receptor blockers more commonly used for heartburn. These would be medications like Tagamet HB, Pepcid AC, and Zantac. Sometimes antihistamines help, and other times they don't. It all depends on how much your histamine cup is already overflowing, and if histamine is even the true or only issue that you have going on. Also, in terms of diet, high histamine foods can contribute to histamine overload. So whether you've gotten some relief from eliminating high histamine foods, such as fermented foods like vinegar, wine, beer, alcohol, sauerkraut, or yogurt, along with cured meats and cheeses, or if you've gone a step further and done a true low histamine diet elimination, typically you'll notice an improvement from doing so. Not 100%, you're not going to be 100% better, so don't think that, but you may notice an actual improvement. And of course, keeping out cross-reactive pollen food allergies that you know are issues. For example, if you have a ragweed allergy, you should probably avoid stevia along with dandelion and milk thistle supplements. If you're interested in more on this particular topic about the cross-reactive pollen food allergies, I've actually got a great resource linked up for you in the show notes of this episode. So one area that's often overlooked when it comes to histamine production is that histamine can be produced or increased by what's going on in your gut microbiome. Some bugs cause your mast cells to dump their histamine, thus increasing the level, while other bugs can actually produce histamine. So H. pylori, for example, is an unfortunately common bacterial infection that can cause mast cells to degranulate, releasing histamine into your system. I've discussed its connection to eczema, rosacea, and other skin issues in episode 135. Other sneaky microbes that I've encountered in my clinical practice that actually produce histamine include bacteria such as Morganella species and certain Klebsiella species that essentially make you a histamine production factory. And parasites can also play a role that's too often overlooked given the frequency with which people complain that, you know, their patch testing came back normal and yet they seem to be allergic to everything, but they just don't know what. I'll be discussing this more very soon, so stay tuned. But for now, keep in mind the conclusion of one study that found there to be, quote, a four-fold increase in the total serum IgE levels of patients detected with protozoa when compared with patients in whom protozoa were not detected, end quote. So if you have a histamine overload picture, it's crucial to evaluate what's going on in your gut microbiome using a comprehensive stool test, like the ones that I use in my practice, rather than going online and buying those, which are commonly marketed to consumers online. So you'll see ads on Facebook or Instagram for these stool tests, which don't really tell you anything. Given this complex issue going on in the GI tract, it should be no surprise that your body has a system in place to naturally break down histamine in food, whether it's naturally high in histamine or it releases histamine upon digestion. Specifically, you have an enzyme called diamine oxidase, also known as DAO, which is tasked with tackling histamine in your gut. Under normal circumstances, DAO will deal with histamine in food and the gut such that you won't react to it. But histamine intolerance develops when you have a SNP in the gene that codes for the DAO enzyme, such that the enzyme doesn't end up working very well, or your DAO enzyme production drops to a point where it becomes inefficient and you basically don't have enough of the enzyme available to get the job done. There are several factors that can impact the amount of DAO that your body makes. As I mentioned earlier, it's not uncommon for people who have histamine overload to be taking more than one antihistamine, and this is significant because, unfortunately, some medications can cause a drop in DAO production. Certain antihistamines, such as Benadryl and cimetidine, also known as Tagamet, may lower DAO production, making it more difficult to break down histamine. Other drugs that can impact DAO include chloroquine, clavulanic acid, codeine, naproxen, Lasix, and verapamil. I'm not suggesting that you stop taking medication that's been prescribed by your doctor, but if you are taking one or more of these medications, you might want to have a conversation with your provider about this potential issue. In part two, I'll discuss hormonal imbalances that can impact DAO production as well, so stay tuned. While you work to uncover your root causes triggering histamine overload, some supplements may be helpful. They're known for supporting histamine imbalances. Before adding them in, always check with your practitioner or doctor first, since they know your case, to make sure that they are right for you. Bioflavonoids like rutin and quercetin can be helpful, and I've actually discussed them in the past in episode 32. Stinging nettles are a botanical that can be taken as an herbal supplement or as a tea. Vitamin C is also important. Unless you've got interstitial cystitis, where you'll need to be really careful with vitamin C supplementation, no matter the form. Immunoglobulins like Mega IgG 2000, which is available at getmegaspore.com, can support the gut by sopping up waste products within the GI tract, helping to reduce how reactive you are. And lastly, DAO supplementation may be worth testing out for a month to see if you notice any difference, rather than getting tested for a genetic SNP, since doing so is very expensive. Typically, these supplements are derived from pigs, so they are contraindicated if you have an allergy to pork. Generally, a DAO supplement is taken 10 minutes before every meal. Now, if you currently take a digestive enzyme, a DAO supplement would be taken in addition to the enzyme product you're already taking. An alternative plant option is to purchase pea shoots at the grocery store or sprout them yourself, because they actually do contain DAO, though I can't quite say how effective this option is compared to just supplementing DAO straight away. And I also did link up in the show notes some information on how to add the pea shoots into your daily regimen. As you can already tell, I could go on and on about histamine overload because I have so much to share with you on this topic, but I feel like this is a good place to stop for now. If you've got any questions or thoughts to share about this, or you want to see the resources and graphics I've put together for you, head on over to skinterrupt.com/188. Leave your thoughts there so I can make sure to answer them and include them in part two of this series for everyone to benefit from. And if you know someone struggling with histamine issues, because frankly, we all do, this is a great podcast to share with them, especially if they feel incredibly frustrated and like they're out of options because all of their tests come back normal, but they're still desperately relying on antihistamines. And lastly, before you head off for your day, take a moment to rate and review The Healthy Skin Show on your podcast platform, and make sure to hit that subscribe button so you can tune in each week for new research, tips, and inspiration. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.